I know I'm biased, but in my opinion, that is the greatest intro in radio history, as far as I'm concerned. But again, I know, I'll take my bias out of it. Queens of the Stone Age, Better Living Through Chemistry, mixed with a little Jim Morrison, wakes you up every single day. Right here on 97.3 The Fan, we are Ben and Woods. Great to be here with you on a Wednesday. Fired up today. Don't know why. Slept like absolute ass. Just the big steaming pile of ass is how I slept last night. But I'm here. I'm ready. And we've got the lights dimmed and everyone's looking good and pale, kind of in the chat here, the three of us. But I'm Woods. Paulie Reindl's the executive producer of the program. Good morning, Paulie.
Still got them jugs, don't you?
Still got them jugs, indeed. Working on getting rid of said jugs. You know, that's kind of the goal. When you get older, you don't want them jugs. If you're a man, you don't. So I'm working on getting rid of my jugs. Ben Higgins, friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. What do you guys think of the dim lighting?
People, I love it.
People in the chat, Purple said three creeps creeping in the dark. It's softer. It feels better. It gets real bright and fluorescent in here, and I don't like that.
I think it looks good. Stage lighting.
Stage lighting.
Yeah, a little more focused on the talent, yeah. The stars the of
talent
the show.
The talent and
here.
The stars, yeah. Of the show.
So I had a question, because you mentioned, obviously,
jugs?
The song, Queens of the Stone Age, yep. Starting the show. Does anybody still use the clock radio alarm feature to wake up in the morning, which I always used to do? And you could set it to the like your favorite radio station at a specific time, because if you did, everyone uses their phone now as right. Their alarm. But mm-hmm. If you had the clock alarm, we come on specifically at the same moment every day. So if you wanted to set your alarm like to the right moment, you could actually wake up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On our show every
the first
day.
Thing you would hear is, yeah. Is everybody in?
Yeah.
Is everybody in? And then the wake up! I don't want to wake up like that.
Yeah, that's a rough start
it's
to the
a
day,
rough.
Actually.
I need a gentle, you know, my alarm is like this loud, like beep, 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 beep. Beep, 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 beep. It's nothing. I cannot do a jarring wake up.
I would think 6 a.m. is the most common
yeah.
Weekday wake up
I would
time.
Guess.
Right?
Especially, I mean, that's what our giant egos would tell us. Yeah, you wake up at 5:58 every day just to tune in to Ben and Woods. Yeah, you guys can't hear it in the chat. I'm sorry. There's royalties and things like that. But if you want to hear what we sound like every day, just go download Queens of the Stone Age, Better Living Through Chemistry. It's just the perfect intro, in my opinion. How's everyone doing? How's everyone feeling?
Good. Party good. Day today.
I have this like smart alarm clock, and I'm trying to... It like it eases you in.
Yeah,
it,
like, I know. We've done the
15-minute...
The 15-minute...
And this
yeah.
Is that gentle? Really?
The Gordon Lightfoot.
You just kind of slowly start to open your eyes. And it gets a little bit louder.
It's not a real wake up.
And a little bit brighter.
At least one panicked jolt.
I need some sort of trill.
Oh, no.
Some sort of trill.
The ease in has been game changer. So good.
Feels real good to ease it in sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Real good.
And McKee says, that's how I wake up every morning. Love my clock radio. I'm glad someone still has a clock radio that's set to 6 a.m. so they can get the exact start of the show every single
Both
day.
Both of my children asked for alarm clocks for Christmas, which is, again, it remains one of the weirdest requests. But, you know, you want to make them happy. Also, I'm relishing these days until it's like, I need a new MacBook, you D-head. All right, I'll get you a new $7,000 MacBook. That Dad, I really want an alarm clock. Sounds good to me. I'll go to CVS and grab one for you.
Like, is Radio Shack still
right?
Open?
Like, such a random
to
request.
Fair, to be fair, I specifically remember probably being about Beau's age, actually, getting an alarm clock as a gift. It was the Nickelodeon alarm clock, and in the 90s, it was the coolest thing. It was like what every kid was asking for. You were super excited to have it, but I remember it was just a clock. It was a clock radio, alarm clock.
But it was like orange or something.
Yeah. It had some buttons that you could smash.
Slime would shoot out of it onto your face.
I remember, though, being like 8 years old, I couldn't comprehend. Like, I knew what a radio was, obviously. But I thought it was a Nickelodeon radio. I'm like, why can't it just play, like, the audio of the Nickelodeon channel that I watch cartoons on?
No, just put on regular radio.
Why can't I just listen to, like, the cartoons, the television channel through the radio?
Did you guys have TVs in your room when you were growing up?
Not until I was
like 11,
in high school.
12.
High school?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was this little tiny. I mean, you know, like almost like a radio where you have to like turn a dial to like lock in the channel. It was not cable. It was just, you know, pick up the antenna on literally. I mean, the picture screen was less than 10 inches maybe across.
Yeah.
It was tiny.
I had one eventually. I had the VCR TV combo, giant square that you could put, you know, VHS movies in. But I don't think I got one until I was like maybe junior year, which coincidentally is when everything fell apart for me. So, like, grades went to, you know, crap, started smoking weed and drinking all the time. That was a junior year. So maybe it was the media I was consuming at the time, or maybe I was just an idiot, or maybe I was just 17.
I remember I was like 11, I think, maybe, when I got the first TV in my bedroom. But it was, I remember a neighbor like was giving it away. It was on the side of the street.
Side of the road.
And it was the big ass heavy TV.
I'll take it.
Probably 20 inches or something. And I'm thinking, I'll take that and see what I can do with it.
Yeah.
It looked like it was broken. Like the screen wasn't broken, but I'm like, there's no way this works. My parents said, if you can figure out how to make that work, because it had an antenna on it, then we will let you have
it's
it.
It's all yours.
So I got like Fox. I got all the networks. I got the main networks, and that was like my first time having. I was able to watch like the World Series on Fox.
Yeah, in your room.
In my bed.
It's classic.
Like, it was perfect.
That's when you just lose your family
Staticky.
Entirely. When you're a parent, you just lose them entirely.
Yeah.
Like if they have a video game unit in their room, or if they have a TV in their room, you're like, I'll see you on Saturday, dude. Enjoy.
Get
like,
home from school, straight into your room. You're not coming back out.
They are gone.
I didn't have video games until like high school, much older. But they parents didn't give me like a Game Boy when I was, you know, 10.
Oh yeah,
and then the Game
done.
Boy that's with you everywhere.
Surfers rule all in our chat says he uses Alarmy to get out of bed. Makes me get out of bed, go scan a barcode downstairs, or else I'm still sleeping.
Worst idea I've ever heard. Unless you have a real problem. Getting
so
up.
I'm sure he's still asleep. But my oldest son is such a sound sleeper. Like when he would try to get up at school, he would set the loudest alarm.
Yeah.
I mean, beep, 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 beep. We could
cross
hear it throughout
room.
The whole house. The entire house could hear it. He's still sound asleep.
How?
It doesn't
How does
even
that happen?
Wake him up in his ear. And now it's just a pain for the rest of us. It's like, what do we do? He will not get up, even with the loudest sound right next to his head in bed. It's a do-do-do-do. Can you not hear that?
We can get up.
The neighbors three doors down can hear your alarm. You're not waking up.
I can't sleep through a mouse fart, man. I swear. If I'm in my, I hear like I'm like, what is it? It's killing me. I like 4 hours last night. First thing I do, I wake up, I look at my sleep. How was my sleep last night? Some mornings I know this is going to be ugly. I had like a 46 on the scale yesterday. I was like, this is terrible, but I actually feel pretty good. Got up, did my stretching, which has been elite. It really has been elite. Forced myself out of bed 10 minutes early. I do 10 minutes of stretching, and it has changed. It just gets me going. It's just been really great. I use the app. It's called Just Stretch. The guy's voice is so funny. Hannah laughs every morning when I hit play because it goes ding, ding, ding. And then you go into the first stretch. And at the end,
like
there's
pole
a
position like you're yeah, starting
like,
a race. Start,
like a pole position. And then at the very end, so it's a different, the guy that's walking you through it has like it's kind of like an Indian voice, Middle Eastern type voice. Then the guy at the end sounds like Ben. He's like, when you finished your last stretch, he goes, that's great, every morning, and then you're done. And when you hear that guy's voice, you know, I'm completely done. So it's good. You said today is party day. What does that mean?
Well, we have our company, well, not our company, but our building quad,
the property.
Christmas party.
Oh, I
the
saw
property.
Them setting up.
They were setting it up downstairs in our courtyard for, you know, we're at the sixth floor of one of three buildings that have, I don't know, dozens of different businesses that call this particular workplace home.
Right.
And so they put together every year a kind of a social mixer holiday party for everybody to go down.
Is it
get
a
some
mixer?
Breakfast. Yeah, you're supposed to go down and
meet chicks down there?
Meet, you know, the people who work on the third floor at the
hey,
other building.
How you doing? Yeah,
what
are, yeah, it's me.
What do you
was
guys
he
do?
From the radio?
Yeah.
How are you? Yeah. No,
and
thank you. I appreciate it.
Paulie and I were walking in going,
is that a bagel? Oh, cool.
Do people actually enjoy being forced to socialize with other people that they don't know? And we both agreed. Some people do. Some people have that gene. Like, this is fun. This is different. We're going to meet the people who work on the fourth floor over there and the second floor over here.
Now, hold on for a second. Hold on.
Yes.
At no time was this ever called a mixer. This isn't a Sadie Hawkins dance, is it?
It's a holiday gathering.
It's for the entire complex. No, it's a thank you for paying exorbitant rent here. Exorbitant. Once a year, we're going to give you some cocoa, throw some bagels out, going to get the plastic tins of cookies for you guys to eat, and then you get out.
I got it right here. It is an annual holiday event, is what they're calling it.
It's a holiday event, Woods.
Why did you turn this into some sort of potential orgy that could happen down there?
I'm not. How did they spell bagels in the on the flyer that they put around the building too? B-A-G-L-E-S.
The cafe will be providing bagels. Pastries.
Bagless.
Pasties and bagless for everyone.
And then we are also having our Channel 10 holiday party luncheon today.
Effing luncheons can man go to in a week?
It's a lot.
Hate that word.
Luncheon.
I hate that word with the passion.
Luncheon.
With the fire of a thousand suns. There's a luncheon. I'm out. Just grabbing a holiday lunch.
I had to do some digging yesterday because I was curious. Well, what are they going to be serving at the luncheon? But I didn't want to go directly ask my boss because that seemed uncouth. So I kind of asked other people in the building who might have overheard, like working different areas where they're doing the planning for the party, because they don't do the planning in the newsroom.
How did your investigation go, Inspector?
It went pretty well. I talked with Steve, our tier one, who works in the design department, which is over on the other side of the building. So he's around some of those people, and he said, I don't know, but I will make some discreet inquiries to find out.
You're literally just asking people about what kind of food are they going to have?
Isn't that
what do you think it's going to be?
Well, I didn't know. I mean,
don't you think it's probably going to be pretty standard?
Well, I was curious. I thought
we're roasting a whole pig.
I thought
it'd
probably
lot.
Like maybe trays of pasta or something from an Italian joint. I didn't know, but I was very excited to hear El Indio is catering Mexican food.
Oh, okay, good, delicious.
Yeah, which I thought was pretty good.
Tacos going to be great.
Tacos, enchiladas, rice and beans.
All right, like
solid holiday fare. Maybe tamales.
Question for you. How many numbers do you think you can pull at today's holiday mixer downstairs in the parking lot? Let's see amongst the three of us who can pull the most numbers down, which is actually a game that, you know, you and your friends played, or me and my friends did back in the day.
I've never played that game, but I know you did.
Have you?
What's your record, Woods?
Like four.
Four.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Not bad.
At a bar or
bar. Okay, yeah. Have you ever pulled a number once?
I would say
Have you gone somewhere and met someone you didn't know, struck up a conversation, and said, hey, let me get your number?
No.
Wow. Mm. Never once.
All right. Once when I was at a fast food Mexican joint, and I was already married for about 8 or 9 years, a woman came up to me and offered me her number, and I politely turned it down.
I need every detail.
I need all details.
Remember.
I don't
everything.
What were you eating?
It was
you were
so,
by yourself. Right, tell
I was
me the whole
in,
story.
I was Polly, just
give
in
me the
line.
Fire. Crack get the firecracker.
I think it was like they had like an Oscars in Mission Valley, and I was just
Oscars Mexican seafood.
Yeah, Oscars Mexican seafood.
God, that like, place is so elite.
I don't think it's still there anymore. They still have a couple, but this one was gone. But it was in that Mission Valley shopping center area, and I was just stopping by to grab something to eat, a taco plate for lunch.
Elite.
I hadn't ordered yet. I was waiting in line, and the woman behind me in line, and I don't even remember how she started the conversation, was, excuse me, is there any way I could get your phone number? It's just right, direct. Just like directed.
Man, I love that.
No small talk, nothing. That was like the first thing she said. I was so flustered.
I bet you got so red.
I just didn't even know what to say. I said, I think I'm very flattered. I'm married, so I probably shouldn't. But
she's I just hit your car outside, buddy. I was going to leave you a note, but I saw you were standing there. I was just going to, for insurance purposes.
Your car is all messed up.
Your car's jacked up.
Once in my lifetime. She was cute.
What'd she look like?
She was cute.
She's standing back there. She looks at that ass.
Yeah.
She looks at those calves.
The calves.
And she is just like, I can't control this animalistic feeling right now. I need this cat's number, and I need it right now, this moment.
I don't really usually engender those kind of feelings in people. I'm the more, okay, I've gotten to know him for about 3 or 4 years. He's a really nice guy.
How many girls, let me
and
ask you.
You know what? If I squint the right way, yeah, there's some things that are attractive about him. Yeah, all right, I'll go out on a date with him. I'm not the old, I must have him, I need his number right away sort of dude.
All right. So you were offered a number, but you've never asked someone for a number.
You're like, lady, I just want to eat my bean and cheese burrito.
Yeah, I'm just getting my surf and turf here, lady. Please.
All my dates and girlfriends came from people that I had known for a while.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
I know you pretty well. Paulie, yes or no question.
Okay.
You answer it first, then Ben will. Did Ben get friend zoned a lot?
Yes.
Because I will tell you right now, if I was a girl, he would be such an elite person to put in the friend zone. He wouldn't threaten. He wouldn't be threatening.
I think you have to pursue a good amount to be put into the friend zone.
Oh, they need to know that there's interest.
And I don't know that Ben pursued a lot.
That's true. He probably was like, well, if they don't come to me, I'm not going
to
them.
You are friends.
I think Paulie kind of nailed it. A couple times for sure when I did start to pursue, I felt like, no, they see me more as friends. Yes, now, as opposed to anything else. But I was a little too timid to even
go to the friend zone.
No, I was... had plenty of friends who were females, but to try to then take it to the next level.
Got it.
It's kind of awkward at that point, though. It's
well,
it's
once
difficult.
She lays her head on your shoulder, it's like, oh, I'm so lucky to have you as a friend. Yes, please take me to dinner on you. right. Now, you weren't perpetually friend zoned and running. There was a time, bro, I did okay with the ladies in college, but there was one girl that I'm not kidding you. Her name was Molly. Molly Wood was like, she was so hot. But she was like, well, I think you're cool, but I don't want to date you.
What was her name?
Molly.
Last name?
Molly McDonald.
Oh, I thought you just said Molly Wood.
No,
I was like,
no.
You were pursuing Molly Wood.
No, Molly Wood. Her name
Steve
Wood. Her name was Molly McDonald. And I was obsessed with her. I just was like, phew. Speaking of, still got them jugs. She'd be like, hey, do you want to go to dinner with me? She'd go, do you want to go to dinner with me and my girlfriends? And I'd be like, okay, sounds good. I was a bartender at the time, made a lot of cash, had a lot of cash on me all the time. Mm. I would take four girls out, drive them, and buy everyone's dinner and drinks.
Deep.
I was like the biggest cuck you've ever seen in your entire
life. I think we've all been there.
Yeah. And I also was trying to be the big shot and the nice guy. But I pursue.
Hey, I'll drive you to the bar so you can go meet other guys.
Yeah, go meet other dudes. I would pursue, and she would be like, Heisman, Heisman, Heisman. Finally, finally! My last day in South Bend, she made out with me. And I was like, 4 years of thousands of dollars of all of this. 4 years and thousands of dollars.
That
to
was
get
just
this.
She didn't feel guilty.
Correct.
After you were gone. Like, I gave him something at least before he left.
To get a good, solid... 15-minute makeout session. And I knew my wife would love this story. She's in the chat saying, she's 83 now. Oh, Betty. So I can't, I'm not making fun of you because she friend-zoned me for a good, solid, 2 years.
So Dub J asked the very pertinent question, which I don't think I've ever told the story on the air. How did you meet your wife?
Yeah.
Because we didn't know each other before our first date, essentially. But we always say it was an arranged marriage because my wife's mother went to high school with my aunt. So they knew each other. And we were actually at the same Christmas Eve party 26 years ago this month. And I hadn't seen her at all. But as we were leaving, the mothers had gotten together and they knew that we were both single and she had just moved back to San Diego from Washington State and they wanted us to meet. And they set up a very awkward oh, have you met my daughter and have you met my nephew? And put us standing together just awkwardly for 10, 15 seconds where neither of us had anything to say.
Well, the good news about you is that you're not awkward at all.
Well, but she's also the same way. So we both stood there very awkwardly, but... kind of, I think, could relate to that. And then I did. Someone said this is her number, so I did give her a call.
What do you mean?
A couple
someone
after,
said.
Well, I think my aunt gave me her number, and a couple of weeks later, I did call her and ask her out on a date.
A couple of weeks.
Well, after Christmas was over, because it was the holiday season.
Holidays are a great time to meet women.
And then
they're in much better moods.
We went out on a date, and you know, hit it off, and the rest is they say is history.
Okay,
25 years and two kids later.
The holidays, great time. People are, if they're, this is going to sound mean. I don't even mean your situation. People around the holidays, I feel like, are looking for, if they're single, it's a good time to be like, you know what? I'm in the festive mood. I'm feeling relaxed. It's a good time, I've always felt, to meet women, right?
Well, they may be looking for someone before
New Year's.
New Year's?
Yeah. Poor Super West. Did you see this in the chat? He says, I am the king of the friend zone. Not intentionally. Ooh, I just let too much time go by before I make a move. And by the time I do that, I'm in the, you're like my brother bucket. Nobody wants a brother. Well, maybe in Mississippi. But in here in California, yeah, you actually, if you go in, man, and you show interest, make your move early so that you can get out early if she's not in. You know, don't slow. Yeah. You don't have to slow play everything. If you see something and you think this could work, you gotta stick your nose in right ASAP. I say that as a man that was literally dragged around town as an Uber and a cash machine by a girl for a couple of years.
But if you move so quickly, then you just look like you're a player.
True.
And that's not necessarily the best.
I don't know that any girl would ever look at you and go, he is going to play me.
I get that. But if that's your just go-to, is you're always trying to make a move every single time, then you're not really presenting who you are to them.
Yeah.
Because I'm not.
I remember when I was like 18, probably 18, and I had gotten friend-zoned by somebody. And the movie had skipped. I just had not seen it because it came out before I was born. Somebody told me to watch When Harry Met Sally. And I watched it for the first time after
Elite.
Being kind of put in the friend zone.
Elite.
And it opened, it changed my world. The movie did. Like, it opened my eyes. I'm like, oh yeah, you can't be friends with women.
It also taught me that you can look like Billy Crystal and get a woman that looks like Meg Ryan. Because that's true. That's absolutely true.
100%.
It happened to me. It absolutely happened to me.
I've gone on record. Like, I think it's one of the most genius, like, best movies of all time.
It's a brilliant, brilliant film that still holds
Men
up.
Men and women cannot. Once you enter that part of the relationship, it's over. It's either you're going all the way or you're done.
Or that's it.
There is no in between.
Learned a lot about dating and stuff from that movie. Sex and the City was a huge. You just sit and make checklists. Yeah. Okay, do that, don't do that, do that, don't do that. I mean, I tried to be a student of the game. You know, I always learn. I always want to learn. It was great. I don't know how we got on that topic, but gentlemen, if you're in the friend zone, you make your move this Christmas season. If you're in the friend zone and you just tell her, you know, I've been doing a lot of thinking. What does he say in When Harry Met Sally? And the thing is, I love you. I don't want to spend another day without you.
When you find somebody you want to spend the rest of your life with,
you want the rest of your life to start right away as soon as possible. That's it. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. All right. Well,
good luck when you get cold when it's 64 degrees out.
Good luck at the mixer
downstairs
today, fellas. Hope everyone meets the love of their life down there.
Can you be my wingman down there?
I think I'm going to split after the show. I really think I'm going to split.
At most, I'm stopping for one bagley. Then leaving.
And a cocoa. All right. Let's get into it. We got some rumors abound.
Oh, yeah.
We got a good show today.
Last day of the winter meetings. We will have updates for you. Sammy's going to join us again. We'll let you know. Set the menu for the Wednesday edition of Ben and Woods. Eno Saris is going to join us as well. Stick around. Just getting started. Tier 1s, thank you for setting your alarm or your phone or whatever to get up with us at 6 a.m. every single morning here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get our first check of traffic this morning with Kelly Danick.
A little nervous for this morning's program. You know why?
Ben Boras.
Yes, I'm putting myself out there.
No, Ben Boras is coming in.
Ben Boras is coming in. But this is...
You're not doing anything.
This is me in a nutshell, though. This is... I put a lot into my puns, and I feel like I get judged twice a year. We've got Mock the Draft and Ben Boras.
You love puns more than anyone.
I do.
So this, I think you're going to crush it. I'm not even worried about it.
They're always so hit or miss. We've had epic years. We've had epic fails.
But even the misses are hits.
But so does Scott Boras.
Scott Boras, yeah, exactly. Like, the bar's not that high. He's a lunatic with these.
He is an absolute lunatic, and we are going to do that coming up right at 7 o'clock, correct, Paulie?
So, yes, sir.
Early in the day, since Scott Boras did his pun session yesterday morning, Ben Boras follows up today with the clients who didn't rate Scott Boras's,
criticisms. Well, listen, I mean, you know, Scott Boras is out there talking about Tarek Skubal. He's out there talking about the biggest names, the Cody Bellingers of the world. Down in the basement of Boras Corp is his nephew, Ben Boras. And he doesn't even let him use the proper name. He hasn't earned the Boras name. So he's Ben Boras. And he represents more of the mid-tier to lower-tier, but still big leaguers,
sure.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Real free agents.
Real free agents in baseball.
Not everybody gets the top-level representation, though. Some people have to settle for second-tier representation.
Which, by the way, is exactly like Boras Corp works in real life.
It is.
Scott Boras isn't doing a lot of work for that reliever.
How many times has Nick Martinez actually
I bet he's never spoken to him. He's kind of like our agent. You just never hear from him. Never
like ran into each other one time. And he's like, "Hey, Scott, how you doing?"
I hear
hey,
you're
buddy.
Great. Here's a card. Call my nephew.
He's like, "Call your contact." Actually, you already. Oh, all right. See you later.
You're already my agent. Oh, yeah, I know. It's great. See you later.
I'm expecting big things out of you, kid.
Yeah. Keep kicking ass, bud. I mean, that's how the real Boras Corp works. I'd bet my house on it that Scott Boras doesn't talk to 95% of the guys he represents.
So we will be heading out to the winter meetings a couple of times today. Looking forward to having Eno Saris joining us at 8:35. He continues to tweet late night
eyeballs,
teasers, and emojis. Yeah, last night it was eyeballs.
Double eyeballs.
1:30 a.m. Eastern time or something. And nothing seems to come out of it, but we can give a hard time about that and see how his winter meetings have gone. But 7:30, we'll have another session with Sammy Leavitt. He is absolutely killing it with his coverage. Basically, his questions are driving Padres coverage from the winter meetings, and we'll talk about it coming up here. First, though, this hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Mission Fed. From first accounts to big life moments, Mission Fed can help. Saving shouldn't be stressful. Mission Fed makes it easier with great rates on savings, certificates, and ultra money market accounts. Grow your money the smart way. Check the latest rates and open an account at missionfed.com. Membership and account criteria apply. And Sammy actually got a little bit of strategy out of AJ Preller, and I think he was telling the truth. I know you can't ever trust anything in the offseason, especially at the winter meetings, but Sammy got some info out of AJ, and let's talk about the latest rumors coming out of the winter meetings involving your San Diego Padres, including one that Woods got a little actually confirmation on last night that could be not happening.
Confirmation of speculation.
Of speculation, right? Exactly. Yeah, I mean, this is what off-season is confirmation of speculation of things that probably won't happen but could happen. But it's spicy, and we'll get to it right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So yesterday, Sammy Leavitt again up with AJ in his suite at the Waldorf Astoria there in Orlando.
A standing appointment with AJ every day in the suite?
Every day, yep. I believe he's there with all the press, but Sammy's asked some good questions that have elicited some good answers. And yesterday, Sammy was talking to AJ about the Dodgers signing Edwin Diaz. You know, AJ did what AJ does. You know, we know they're going to be really good, and we're going to try to keep up with them every single year, but it's a given that they're going to do that. But AJ actually did kind of admit that he is not planning on trading any of his bullpen guys, or at least he will be doing so very reluctantly. He does not want to trade away from his best strength and end up with just a mediocre bullpen at the end of the day. And I'm still curious. So how is AJ going to solve his starting pitching issue if he's not really willing to dip in to his bullpen arms to do so? I think that's the curious question that this offseason is going to, at some point, the answer will be revealed, because the Padres aren't going into the year with just the five pitchers that they have right now. They need depth. They need better starting pitching. But, you know, our speculation perhaps that they would convert a reliever into a starter, that appears to be a no-go. We heard that from Craig Stammen and AJ on Monday,
that neither, you know, they've gone through it and the risks outweigh the rewards, you know, health-wise, strategy-wise, we don't want to weaken our bullpen to try to just improve our starting pitching. Okay, well, would you trade someone? And yesterday, AJ was again, no, don't really want to weaken our bullpen necessarily. So how are they going to do it, Woods? How are they going?
Well,
are they just, but we also think they don't have unlimited money to go out and just spend and sign free agents to fill those starting pitching needs.
So I think when you say, when you're AJ Preller and you are dealing from a position of power, and he does, look, it's not the greatest bunch of bullets to walk into the winter meetings with. You don't have 10 top prospects that you're like, I'm literally willing to part with 4 to 5 of them, right? You don't have that right now. What you do have, the bullets that you have down in the bullpen, I think it's very smart to say, no, I'm not really looking to move those guys. Instead of, market's open, guys. Come tell me who you want and we'll see what we can do. I think it's a smart play in the media, and I do think it's a play. Dave Roberts, the day before they signed Edwin Diaz, he goes, we're not making any splashy moves. Boom, $69 million bucks for Edwin Diaz the next day.
They were never really linked with Edwin Diaz.
And then it comes out this morning from Katie Wu of The Athletic that, yeah, they want Kyle Tucker too. They're not going to go to 6 years, but they'll go to 4, right? So
And they are talking about Tarek Skubal.
Correct. Too. Yeah, that's again, if you trust what you're reading out there, they are very much interested in bringing him in and hoping they can re-sign him to a long-term deal because he is one of the top two pitchers in baseball. Why wouldn't you want Tarek Skubal for a bunch of prospects that you can easily refill? If you, they're in such a position where they could literally be like, the farm system's looking a little lean. We went from 1 to 12. I don't know, trade Glass now. Trade Glass now for 3 prospects. We'll get it back up to 8, you know, in one fell swoop. And if it doesn't work, we'll just buy our way out of it. They absolutely can do that. So I wouldn't, they have nothing to worry about. Zero. There's not one concern if you're an LA Dodger fan. Not one. I don't want to hear you bitching. I told you that yesterday. I'm going to tell you every day. So I do think that saying I don't want to trade any of the relievers just drives the price up, even if it's just a little bit. If it's one more prospect, I didn't want to part with him, but I will because I really want Jeremiah Estrada or I want Mason Miller. The news that I got last night is again, take it with a grain of salt, however you want. We don't do this a lot, but I did, as we were wildly speculating yesterday, my understanding from the person I talked to is that Francisco Lindor is very much still very coveted by AJ Preller.
He certainly fits the mold.
He absolutely fits the mold. The other part I heard that we, again, wildly speculated that Mason Miller would be part of the return and potentially a Xander Bogaerts would go to New York.
Like, first thing I would
the
say.
The exact
is,
thing we kind of just idly speculated correct. About
like,
yesterday.
Like, let me, the word, the way that I heard it put to me yesterday was, it has legs. And I went, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I think it's important to say, like, we know for a fact that Lindor was on AJ Preller's radar
5 years ago. He told me to my face.
That's like, great for a fact, we know that.
He stared at me in my eyes and said, wait till I get Francisco.
And while
the news being that he's still on the radar.
Yeah.
There may have been a bit of bluster and, you know,
back
just
then?
Dreaming in that moment.
No, I thought that was a test.
There was very genuine desire on AJ's part. Well, of course he loves Francisco Lindor.
Why wouldn't you?
He loves every athletic, talented shortstop in the history of baseball.
Correct.
That's what AJ Preller loves.
He's trying to get A-Rod a couple years ago.
Of course. Yeah.
I mean, so again, I think there's legs to it. Now, I do look at the winter meetings for AJ Preller and the Padres a bit like a big funnel. And I think it's very smart to start big. And Steve Cohen, David Stearns, let's talk about this, right? And you go down, not going to work. Maybe we add this guy. Maybe we eat more money. You eat more money, whatever it is. Now, the thing is, if you swapped Xander Bogaerts for Francisco Lindor and threw in a Mason Miller in prospects, Lindor's expensive. He's more expensive than Xander, but it's for, I think, 3 years less. So you get out of the Xander Bogaerts age 50 to 55 contract that you've got locked up. So I think you do it in a heartbeat. I don't know that it's going great in New York either for Francisco Lindor. I just don't. That's what I've heard. Again, this is the information that I had. Hey, saw the wild speculation. It actually has legs. It is being discussed, which made me go, wow, that's that's pretty cool. But again, I have no idea if it's going to come to fruition or not.
I would consider it. I mean, I think Lindor is a fantastic player.
Sure.
If you like Manny Machado, you're going to love Francisco Lindor. He puts up similar numbers, yep, really every single year. 30 homers.
Better, actually.
Better OBP. You know, he gets on base as well.
It's given up a lot.
Incredibly consistent. It's giving anything that includes Mason Miller is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get some starting pitching back in that deal,
yep,
as well,
yep,
then you absolutely have to consider something like that.
But again,
it does help you in the future. And think about a team with Francisco Lindor, Fernando Tatis Jr., Manny Machado, and Jackson Merrill.
Yeah.
As a core four.
Pretty solid.
I mean, all up to Xander Bogaerts. He's not been a superstar here in San Diego.
No, good year last year.
He had a pretty good year last year.
Good in the playoffs.
Francisco Lindor is still a top 10 MVP type player every single year. Fernando Tatis Jr. is a top 10 MVP player every single year. I believe Jackson Merrill, after dealing with the injuries and the sophomore slump adjustments, by the end of the year, he was looking a lot like rookie Jackson Merrill. He could break out and be a top 10 MVP type player. He was already an all MLB outfielder his rookie season. I think there's bigger and better things for Jackson. And Manny is so consistent. I mean, he's been in MVP voting as well. You could have four guys who are all potentially receiving MVP votes in the middle of your lineup. Who doesn't want that? Who wants to face that in any way, shape, or form? I think that is a very intriguing conversation to have with the New York Mets.
I think so too. I mean, again, and there's you know, you can look at it and look down your nose at it. I don't know how it would, what the final look, you know, final tally would be on players going and players coming back. But,
sure,
you know, somebody asked, why would the Mets take Xander to get Mason Miller? And Xander's very serviceable, like absolutely serviceable.
Good last year,
played on the East Coast. Sure, absolutely.
I think you take that chance.
Somebody, would Xander go?
Does he have no trade?
He has some no trade. I don't know whether that maybe includes New York.
But limited. Yeah.
Hmm.
So we'll see, man. We'll see. I would definitely, I don't know that it's going to come to fruition at all, but again, it's certainly been talked about.
And
again, we've known that forever, yeah, that he wants him here.
If that worked out, hypothetically, you're giving them Mason Miller,
yeah,
and then
for 4 years of control.
Yeah. And then, so then what was Xander's making, like 24?
Yeah.
Lindor's
32.
So you're basically paying like $8 million more a year in the short term for Lindor, but then you're saving that $24 million or whatever for however many years Xander wouldn't be here.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I thought about it a lot. Like, man, Xander finally looks like he's getting comfortable here.
I know.
And that's good. And I like Xander. We all like Xander. Everybody wants Xander to
get
great.
If it doesn't happen, I'm not going to be
bummed at all. No.
I think Xander could have a really good season next year as well.
When they say that he's shooting big, it's one of those crazy trades that will remind you of Juan Soto, I think that qualifies. So, again, to hear that it had legs, I was like, oh, all right.
I mean,
sometimes you throw stuff at the wall.
Unless he literally pulls off some fantasy baseball trade where the guy was, you know what I mean? Like some insane, here's some prospects and we'll take your three best players. For AJ Preller to do anything, even remotely close to the Soto trades or the other big trades that have been compared over the last couple of days, it would have to be, there's Tatis, Machado, Merrill, or Bogaerts. And I guess and Miller. AJ can't go big without moving at least one of those.
Of course. It's not Camposano and Gavin Sheets for, you know, somebody big.
That wouldn't be, quote, Juan Soto big.
Right. This
without
would be.
One of those.
And I think, if we're being honest, is, you know, and we've talked about this for years, but the biggest future concern for the Padres is having both 39, 40, 41-year-old Manny Machado and Xander Bogaerts on huge contracts, no longer productive or anywhere near what they were in their primes.
You get out of one of those.
You can have one of those.
Yeah, one is fine.
Both of those are going to be a real albatross for AJ or whoever the general manager is. If there's a way that you can shake up your roster right now and not really, I mean, you certainly, I don't know that you'd be getting worse with Francisco Lindor. Obviously, you'd be giving up Mason Miller. That's a lot. But if you get some pitching and address another need and also improve some of your future bottom lines and you know, payrolls that give you some more flexibility in the future, it might soften the eventual downturn that everyone kind of sees coming at the end of the decade for the Padres. Like, how are you going to overcome that? Well, that move, then, you know, Lindor becomes a free agent in 3 years, opens up a bunch of money. You don't have Xander on the books anymore. All of a sudden, you have the flexibility to make some moves at the end of the decade, depending on where you are as an organization.
KG says, if you give up Miller, then who do you have as a closer? I mean, at the beginning of the year, you have Estrada, you have Morihone, you have David Morgan.
Morihone would be a great closer.
You play matchups, right? Craig Stammen's a bullpen.
And
guy.
Adam has done it before.
Jason
when
Adam's
he gets
done it before.
Again.
Yeah, you can. I'm not the closing position. I don't worry about so much. And again, at the deadline, if you need a closer, you don't have to give Leodalis DeVries for your next closer. You really don't.
A rental,
you know. And they've done a really good job here, always at finding a guy that can lock down the ninth. I mean, that's just one thing as a Padre fan. You really haven't had to sweat very much. It was Josh Hader. It was Heath Bell. It was Houston Street. It was on and on and on and on. That's not something I'm worried about here.
Brad Hand.
100%. I mean, just go down the list of the absolutely elite closers that have rolled through San Diego. Trevor Hoffman.
Those are like all-stars.
Every single one of them. So I think if Adrian Morihone wanted to be the closer, done. But yeah, he's really valuable as a setup. You're absolutely right. But
your bullpen, it's lose fluid. Mason Miller, even in a trade where you're getting somebody like even Francisco Lindor, your bullpen's taking a hit. You're losing Robert Suarez, and then now we're talking about Mason Miller.
Yep.
That's a huge, huge hit.
Brad Gleyber Rodriguez steps into a higher leverage role, you know, in the seventh or eighth.
Yeah, I think we all agree. Closes. You can sustain it, but you can't sugarcoat it.
They're very high on David Morgan.
Yeah, I mean, they are.
They have arms.
They got arms.
That, you know, that's why we keep speculating about the bullpen, because they do have enough arms.
They do.
To still have a good bullpen.
And again, you're really only having to weather a few months. You're having to weather a few months. Can we find the slots for these guys until the trade deadline?
Yeah.
That's it. Oh, and then, you know, when the trade deadline comes, it's, hey, the Marlins closers on the block, or the Royals closers on the block, or the, you know, the Reds closers on the block. You find a closer. Everyone always says you can always find a corner outfielder and a first baseman. We can't. Closers is not something I'm worried about.
The Pirates signed Giovanni Soto yesterday for $7 million. They're going to trade him at the deadline.
He
will be traded at the deadline.
I didn't even know they did it. I didn't even know they signed him.
They signed him yesterday or late last night, and they will trade him at the deadline. He's already on the trade deadline block from the Pittsburgh Pirates. You can guarantee that he will be one of those guys that is dealt in July.
Yeah.
You can find, if you're in contention, you can find relief arms later in the year.
We had Trevor Rosenthal. Somebody said in the chat, too, David said, to Woodsy's point, who the hell was Robert Suarez when he got here? 100%. And he's about to cash in free agency as well. I'm certainly interested if something like that happens. The big splash move is a signature of A.J. Preller. Can he get it done? If anybody can, it's him.
Well, to be clear, somebody said, all that for Lindor. It's not just for Lindor.
No,
you got to look at what you're also getting rid of one of those contracts
and what you're not paying years down the road.
That's how you can kind of turn around the future a little bit.
That's true.
Ben Boras will represent his clients with puns and passion when we return with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.